review some things tonight, and you can stop me if you have some questions if it's something I'm going to cover. I'll tell you that in the future. But let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll just start there. And a lot of maybe take some time to look at a few more verses tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Where do bad people go? They go to the bad place. Do you ever notice how people try to soften down hell? It's the bad place. Well, it is a bad place, and if people really knew what it was, they would not want to go there. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself a workman that need show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So we're going to try and do that and divide who, what, why, when, and where, and see if we can find out where everybody goes. Hell is an interesting place. Hell is not just hell. The Bible talks about the lower parts of the earth and the lowest part of the earth, the nether parts of the earth, talks about hell and talks about the pit. And people do die, and they do go to hell. Hell is, and the lake of fire are not the same. Hell will be cast into the lake of fire in Revelation the end of the millennial reign of Christ, but they are not the same place. So a lot of people think there and say, well, you're going to die and go to the lake of fire. Eventually, yes, but not now. So hell has at least different levels. I think that probably different positions or different parts of punishment, if I were to guess what they were. Brother Eric asked me a question, and we might, Brother Eric, to look at that. We'll might as well do that to start with and answer your question. We'll come back to it. In the book of Jude, he asked me about the angels that sinned. Where did they go? And I know where they went, but he asked me if there was a special compartment where they went. It says this in Jude, if you look in verse 5 of Jude, it's interesting what they say about them. It says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this," Jude 5, "how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." And then it says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation up in the third heaven, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." So they are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day. So at least these angels are chained. Verse 7, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner what? In like manner of the angels that left their first habitation, did what? Giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." So obviously there's eternal fire where they're at. And in Sodom and Gomorrah, there was fornication that took place. You say, what took place with the angels that sinned? Fornication. You say, what was that with? That was with the daughters of men on the earth, which would have been strange flesh to them. It wasn't this teaching about the godly line of Seth is a joke. There is no godly line. If I'm not mistaken, there was a harlot in the line of Jesus Christ. So Genesis chapter 6, they try to say that's the godly line of Seth, and it was no such thing. Where do you think giants came from? Where do you think these mythological creations that people talk about, well, there's a lot of truth to some of those things. So they cohabitated with women, and the Bible says giants were born unto them. That's what it says. And if there was any question, it tells you here that these Sodom and Gomorrah were in fornication, similar to what took place with the angels that sinned going after strange flesh. All right, so if you go back to 2 Peter chapter 2, that's a whole other story. 2 Peter chapter 2. Yes? There's not one verse, unfortunately, that says that. And that is a misunderstanding that a lot of people have. The common teaching is angels could not cohabitate with men because they're neither male nor female. And they can't. There's not one verse in the Bible that backs that up. Not one. So, as a matter of fact, all angels are male. There is no such thing as a female angel. All right, they are male, and the verse that people use to say that is this: says that when we die, we're like the angels in heaven that neither marry nor are giving in marriage. Well, that doesn't mean that they can't. Well, they don't marry because they're all male, unless they're gay angels, which I don't think so. So that they use that verse because they say they neither marry or give in marriage, but like the angels. Well, the angels are all male, so they don't marry. But there is no such thing as a female angel. The only thing that is female that has wings is a demonic being in the Bible. Now, there are other wings, seraphim and cherubim, but those are not angels. Those are created beings of God, but they're not angels. So seraphim and cherubim. That is a common misunderstanding. It snapped back? Yeah, that's a common misunderstanding. And then they go back to Genesis chapter 6, where they made it with the sons of God and the daughters of men, and say, well, this was the godly line of Seth, and the men were men of renown. They were great men, that they were famous men, it's all baloney. So, all right, 2 Peter chapter, good question, thank you very much. 2 Peter chapter 2. It says in verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. I think there's a heresy now, and it's nothing new, but one that's really being propagated is that the church will go through the tribulation, but not the great tribulation, and will go out at the end of the tribulation, the pre-wrath rapture of the church. Which is a false teaching. It's not new. It's been around forever, but it's really being pushed again now by some real heretics that are out there and trying to fire it up again. And there's no truth to it whatsoever at all. And what they do is they don't rightly divide the word of truth, and they take some verses that deal with the second advent, and they do see a rapture. There is a rapture there, but it's not that rapture of the church. All right, verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Pernicious. I'd laugh. I had someone I used to call pernicious. That was my pet name for her. And pernicious means harmful, damaging, destructive, and malignant. And she had a real name, but I called her pernicious. It wasn't a pleasant name, but I called her pernicious, and she thought I was talking kindly of her. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Verse 3. And through covetousness, that's the problem, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if, now in their comparison here, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, that's the ones back there in Jude, to cohabitate with the daughters of men, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly men, and on it goes, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and on. But I want you to know in verse 4, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So where did they go? They went to hell. Where are they at in hell? I don't know. But it doesn't say that there's anything, Brother Eric, that there's any place that they went that was different than, a special compartment or anything for them. Just so they were delivered down to hell and in chains of darkness reserved unto judgment. So that was the angels that sinned, and they're still there. They're not running around as the unclean spirits or anything. They're there. That's a special group of angels that left their first habitation. They're still there. So people say, well, those got cast out of heaven and they're running around here. No, they're not. So that's a whole other subject, all those beings as well, too. But the Bible talks about hell, paradise, Abraham's bosom, church rapture, second advent, some of those things. The Bible talks about hell being in the heart of the earth. What I mentioned last time was there a minimum of three compartments in the heart of the earth, possibly four if the heart is based upon the type of heart that we have. And it might be that the four compartments would be something that would entail the pit that would contain paradise, Abraham's bosom, and the fiery part of hell. It's interesting, if you study the pit, that there are graves in the side of the pit, which is an interesting type of thing. You say, what is that? Well, the answer is, I don't know. I wish I did know what it was. But graves in the side of the pit. Here's kind of a... the earth is like a ball that rotates. It tips on its side. So the way you could have a bottomless pit is if the earth spinning on its side, it would never, as it turns and spins, rotates around the sun, it never has the same bottom ever. It is constantly, constantly spinning, and you could have a pit inside there. If it was straight like this, it would always have a bottom down here. But being tipped on its axis as it turns, there is never a bottom in the center of the earth. So it is indeed in the heart of the earth, and it's a bottomless pit. I was even going back and forth with Brother Vitek. He was going to get up this morning and go see the blood moon. Did anybody get up and see the blood moon? Well, it was very interesting. My mom said Tuesday that she was up. My mom gets up, I don't know, 4:30, 5 o'clock every morning. She sleeps half and on all day long. She's 88. She got nothing to do. So she gets up she tries to get up to get the paper. Her paper comes 5:30 in the morning. So she was up, and she's outside walking around, 5:30 in the morning, whatever it is, 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock. She's looking for this moon. It was an eclipse of the moon. And she says, I never did see it. I said, well, that's because it doesn't take place till tonight, Mom. You were a day early. Oh, I wonder why I didn't see it. This morning it was, yeah. I was talking to her yesterday.
I didn't see it.
What time were you out?
Around 5:30.
It didn't happen then.
Like,
well, Brother Zanin looked it up on the weather station, and he said for his area it was supposed to be like 7:02 or 7:08, which I never heard that. And he said, so, he says, I set my alarm, Mary Jane. He says, I don't ever have to wind her. He says, she always gets up. So he said, and she got me up this morning, and I went out. And he said, I got up about 6:30, went out about 6:45, waited. And he said, there was no moon. He says, it was gone. He said, everything was gone. I waited around, never saw anything. He said, we went down, I think Redner's or something, bought some donuts, was talking to somebody, and we're talking about the moon. And they said, oh, yeah, we saw it. And they said, well, what time did you see it? And he said, oh, it was about 8, 10 after 6 or something. And, lasted about 15 minutes and it was over. So they saw it. And so he said, well, that's what the weather station said it would take place for our area. And I said, yes. And they tell you there's global warming. And he wrote back. He said, well, there is in the Death Valley. So he missed it. He said, this is a true story. So it did happen and someone did see it. But I don't know what time it happened because... I didn't care.
It was while I was driving in that it happened or something like
Did
that.
You see anything? Did you see the moon?
No, I didn't.
Well, I know it stormed most of the night, still a lot of storm. I don't know what time it cleared, but apparently it cleared up enough that someone saw it. Did you go up this morning see it this morning?
I didn't see it though. It was cloudy where I did.
Okay, yeah.
I was one star is all I saw.
Yeah, I thought so too with that storm coming through. So it was interesting. He wanted to take pictures of it because the last bulletin we had had a blood moon, what they call a blood moon, and he had taken the pictures of that. So he had himself armed and ready to go. So he just ate donuts instead, which was probably a good thing. So I don't know how we got on weathermen, and they're predicting. They don't even know when the moon comes up. In the heart of the earth, there are three places in the heart of the earth where the souls of men went when they died. They went to paradise, Abraham's bosom, and the fiery part, the place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, and those are in the heart of the earth. It appears that anyone that was saved before there was any written word of God, or before Abraham, and of course God giving the law and circumcision to Abraham, they went to a place called Paradise, which was then in the heart of the earth. If you go back to Ezekiel, I think it's 31. I'll know when I get back there. Paradise was in the Garden of Eden. That's it, Ezekiel 31. Paradise was in the Garden of Eden, and in the Garden of Eden there was a tree of life, among the other trees as well, too. And there was also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life, Adam and Eve could have taken from that and eaten of that and lived for eternity. But they did not. They sinned, and so they were cast out of the garden. And it appears that someplace in time, paradise was taking or went down into the heart of the earth, and paradise was in the center of the earth. Paradise today is in the third heaven, and the tree of life is still in paradise. We'll look at some verses about that. So if you go back to Ezekiel 31, the prophecy here it's prophetic, but it also tells historically about Pharaoh, and Pharaoh died and went to hell. Pharaoh went into the middle of the Red Sea. The sea closed up on him, and he was with his army, and he died, and he ended up in hell. But if you'll notice down in verse 9, Pharaoh also is a type of the Antichrist. It's kind of a historical, it's prophetic, and it gives you a picture of some things here to give you a better understanding of what took place. Verse 9, "Now I've made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and he has shot up his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height, I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. They shall surely deal with him, and I have driven him out for his wickedness." All right, so that was prophetically, it was Pharaoh, but it was also a type of the Antichrist. So it talks about the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God. And if you jump over a little farther to verse 16, it says, "I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall when I cast him down to hell." Notice that hell is always down, lower, down. They came up out of hell, into the nether parts. The nether is the lower part. "Down into hell with them that descend," notice the word descend as in down, "into the pit." So obviously there's a pit. Is hell and the pit synonymous? To some extent, yes, but it encompasses a lot. "And all the trees of Edom, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth." So the trees of Eden are down in the nether parts of the earth. So they got there somehow, some point in time. It's only a guess, and I can't prove this, but my guess is that it happened during the flood, God's judgment on the earth of the flood. And he took then the Garden of Eden down to the earth and took the tree of life down there away from man. Verse 17, "They also went down into hell with him unto them that be slain with the sword, and they that were his arm that dwelt under his shadow in the midst of the heathen. To whom art thou thus like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden?" Notice the trees of Eden. "Yet shall thou be brought down with the trees of Eden into the nether parts of the earth." So the trees of Eden have gone down into the nether parts of the earth. So paradise that was on the earth looks like it went into the heart of the earth. And those that died in the Old Testament, that what we would, I guess we would use the term saved, not as we would be saved. They hadn't trust Christ as their personal Savior. But those that believed on God and followed the light that God had given them, those went, truly by grace, went into paradise when they died. Those that were lost, the heathen that had rejected God, they went into hell, the fiery part where the judgment is at, down into the pit. There was no place called Abraham's bosom at that time because there was no Abraham. Abraham did not exist, and so there was no Abraham's bosom at that time. So everyone was saved from the time of Abraham to the death of Christ, including those under the law, Abraham, Isaac, all the whole crowd clear up to the cross. died and went to Abraham's bosom. They did not go to paradise. They went to Abraham's bosom because they were under the law, a different dispensation. So anyone that's unsaved in any dispensation, I don't care where it is, goes to the hell. There is no purgatory. It's amazing when you talk to people. I can't tell you how many times that I've witnessed to people, especially not so much necessarily one-on-one when you're in a home situation, but preaching on a street corner out in public. I can't tell you how many times people said, "Oh, there is no hell. I believe hell's right here." I can't tell you how many people I've told me. And I've told them, I said, "Well, then you know what? You're going to really be in for a shock one day." I said, "If you think this is hell," I said, "you have no idea what hell is really like." But they think that, because something has happened to them that obviously they didn't deserve, this had to be hell. Not even close. So paradise, Abraham's bosom, not the same place, but they are both in the heart of the earth, or at least were. Two separate places, all they both had the same location in the heart of the earth. Of course, they had a location there as hell as well, too. Yes. Yes. It is, yes. Because there's compartments in hell. And hell, or the pit, is made up of different compartments. And when they say hell, sometimes there's a fiery part, and there's also a part where the Garden of Eden is at. So the overall term is called hell, into the nether parts of earth. But there is a part in the earth that is paradise, and so this is, it goes down to the pit. And that's what I said. The pit possibly could be the whole thing. And compartments in that pit. Because like you dig a pit, well, you put things down in it. Paradise, Abraham's bosom, the fiery part. And so if I'm talking about going down into the pit, you say, well, cast into the pit, into hell. Well, hell's in the pit. So it looks like the pit is an all-encompassing word that takes in the whole part of that. And when they call it the bottomless pit, they don't ever call it the bottomless paradise or the bottomless hell. They always call it the bottomless pit. So it looks like it's the compartment that everything else is in the heart of the earth, which is in the heart of the earth.
That's why Lazarus could look across.
Well, there was, he was looking into Abraham's bosom. And Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. He was looking apart into the fiery part of hell. And it says there was a great gulf fixed between them, which they could not cross. But how, when they say great, I don't know, because he could look across and talk to him. Now, if they mean great, it might necessarily be in a tremendous amount of span this way, but it could be this way that would go clear down to the bottom of the earth. And I'm not real sure exactly, and how great that is, but there was nobody going to jump across or walk across, so there's no way they could get across the two. So, all right, so that's, I'm kind of giving you how I got it, I pictured in my mind here. All right. Now, excuse me, they have Abraham's bosom, paradise, and then, of course, they have the fiery part. And I mentioned last week, just to kind of go over it a little bit, are you with me so far? Am I going slower tonight than I did last time? So I'm kind of reviewing here, so I was trying to get everything out today, because there's just no way you can possibly get it all out. Abraham's bosom is likened, if you're looking at the Trinity, Abraham's bosom is likened to the God the Father. And paradise, the original Garden of Eden, is likened unto the Son. And the fiery part, hell, the fiery part, is likened unto God the Holy Spirit. And talks about that in Matthew chapter 3. God, our God's a consuming fire. The Holy Spirit baptized them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that fire baptism is one of judgment into a place called hell. So if we're looking for three parts, or we're looking at a Trinity, heaven has three parts. There's three parts in heaven. There's three parts on the ark. When they built the ark, they had the lower, the middle, and the top, and that's a picture of the first, second, and third heaven. So I would say there are probably three parts that fit the same thing with the three parts of heaven, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and I won't get into that. But the three parts of hell, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then the pit, the all-encompassing place where they're at. All right, so you with me so far? Saved person on this side of the cross, since Christ has died, go directly to be with the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, absent from the body is present with the Lord. So we die today, and we go to be with the Lord in paradise, because paradise is now up. So Abraham's bosom, as far as I can see from the scripture, still exists, because I can show you two people that are still in there, and that's Isaiah and David. And I think we talked about David in the book of Acts. You want to go back there just real quick just to show you? Acts, I think it's 2, isn't it? Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 it is. And verse 29. Acts chapter 2 and verse 29. I was going to set up a board and draw some pictures, but my graphics are so great that it usually astounds people. And I get all kinds of compliments on that, like, what in the world did you draw up there? Because the time I'm done, it's all scribbled up and it looks so bad that I think I did have Zenon draw a devil for me one time up there. And I said, Zenon, you're an artist. Come up here and draw something for me up here. And he drew a picture for me. Have you seen any paintings that Zenon is a tremendous painter? I've seen some paintings that he has done. Ooh. He did a picture of their one cat. It is as good as almost anything I've seen. He's very good. So he doesn't do a lot of it. He does a lot of graphic work now, and he does that. He does graphic work on the side. He has some clients and stuff that he does graphic work. Try to, you know, like us other retired folks, we try to make enough money that we can get our coffee and donuts in the morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 29. Acts chapter 2 and verse 29. As in men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. All right, this is after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Christ went down, preached to the saints in prison. He is resurrected from the tomb. He walked on the earth, seen about 400 brethren, went to seat at the right hand of the Father, finished the atonement, and he's there ever lived to make an intercession for us. So we're on this side of the cross. So David, being on this side of the cross, it says, verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of this patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. Okay, he's dead and buried. Did he go up to heaven when he emptied paradise? Well, apparently not. If you jump down to verse 34, it says, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. So at that time, David was not ascended into heaven. And this is after that the Lord went to heaven and paradise, God took paradise, emptied paradise and took paradise with him and went into heaven. So David did not go. Wouldn't you think David could go? Well, you say, where is David? David, I believe, according to what I see, is he is still in Abraham's bosom. All right, now we're going to talk about paradise. We'll come back to some of these things and we'll look up some verses. But paradise is the original garden, or the Garden of Eden, Ezekiel 31. We looked at that. And sometime after the fall of Adam and Eve, God took it down to the nether parts of the earth. I'm assuming, again, as I mentioned, that I have no proof of this. I just know it got there. If I were to guess, I would guess the flood. Your guess would be as good as mine. If you want to refute that, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I just know it's there, was here, it's there. But it shows up in the nether parts of the earth. In Luke chapter 23 is the first mention. If you go to the book of Luke, and it's mentioned three times, and we'll take a look at each one of them. Luke 23, and then we'll look at Abraham's bosom, and then we'll look at hell. Not all the references, because there's a lot of them. Jesus Christ spoke more on hell than he did on heaven. He talked more about hell than any prophet, more about hell than anybody did in the Bible. And everybody talks about, you know, Jesus, he just loved everybody. Well, he still cast him into the lake of fire. Luke 23, or into hell. Luke 23, see, even I said it, and I know better. Luke 23 and verse 43. Luke 23 and verse 43, it says, 23 and verse 43. The thief, let's back up to verse 39 to pick up the context. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Now, that was a pretty smart man. He says, I deserve this. Many of the prisons, I've preached in a lot of prisons, and many of them that are in there have done nothing wrong. It's all been somebody else's fault. It wasn't them. But this man, he knew what he had done. Verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, recognize Jesus as Lord. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. All right, so paradise was at that point in the heart of the earth, but he was taking it up. So he went to paradise, which was up. He did not go to Abraham's bosom, because Abraham's bosom was in the heart of the earth, and Jesus Christ died before the thief died. Therefore, he led captivity captive, took them to heaven. And so when the thief died, he went to paradise, which at that point then was up where the Lord took him up. So that's the first mention. What's that?
I'm just saying it's interesting.
Oh.
He died with Abraham up to Jesus Christ.
He would have been to Abraham's bosom. Yeah, so good thing he lived long enough, he'd still be there. Yeah. All right. And let's see here. All right, let's, a couple other verses. So some of this is just reviewed stuff. Of course, he couldn't go to the third heaven. Third heaven, he had not yet ascended yet, but he would be up at the third part of heaven when he got there. All right, so the thief went to paradise, and let's see what I was looking for here. Whew. All right, let's look at the second reference and a lot of other things we could go look at. The second reference is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll come back and cover a number of other things too. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 1 it says, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come, this is Paul. He said, I will come to vision, revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. I feel that way sometimes when I get up in the morning. I'm just not real sure where I am or where I'm at. I do pretty good sometimes if I get up and stand by the bed there for a while, and then I kind of see if I can feel my feet and my legs and where I'm at and see if it's dark out or light out and what it is. I knew a man in Christ, whether in the body or out of the body, cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. Now, if there's a third heaven, what does that tell you? There's a first and a second, yeah. Unless you have the what's that new math that they're using? I can't think of what the new math is. What do they call that stupid stuff? I don't even know what it is. That's such a big fuss over that.
Dummies
what is it?
Dummies math?
Math for dummies? No, I would have to go through that. Starts with a C, I think. What is it?
Core?
No. They're forcing it into some of these schools, and the schools are just throwing a fit over it. Core, did you say? Common Core. That's it. Thank you. I didn't click something in here. Common. I believe it's called Common Core. It's just the little bit that I've seen in it, I've gone, that's insane. That's absolutely insane. So there could be, in Common Core math, a first heaven and a third heaven. Two, we're not sure where it went. Someone just said something about Universal Unitarian Church was up in Maine. We have one in Pottstown. Unitarian Universalist Church. It's out near, not too far away from where the Lowe's is on a street that goes to the left out there. And I've run into they don't have real pastors. I don't know what they have. They have dummies. And I used to run into a guy on the street. They always all want to argue with me. They just believe it, you know, anything. The essence of man is the wisdom of all and on and on. So we go on the street, and he'd come up and argue with me. And I always tried to make him look like a fool, because he was a fool. And so he really liked me, and I didn't like him at all. And he invited me to come out and speak at the Unitarian Universalist Church. I almost did. and went out and preached on hell. And they wouldn't believe. They just said, oh, that's nice. That's wonderful. That's your opinion. I'm glad you like that. And there's really no essence of hell. Hell is just really, you know, there's really no God. It's just good and evil. God is really just good with another O. And evil, there's no devil. That's just evil with a D off of it. This is just the essence of man. But there's a spark of divinity in everyone. And if you just fan that a little bit, it flames into the essence of being. Okay. He would look for me. I said, oh, here he comes. And I would do everything I can to just make him look stupid. And he didn't even realize. They don't believe anything. You can't back him into a corner because they really don't believe anything about anything. You know, it's just nothing really exists. I want to smash him in the nose one time and say, how about that? Is that real blood coming out your nose? Do you really? Well, what do you know? I couldn't do that. I wanted to real bad, but my wife was there and she'd have whooped up on me. Oh, she's up. Don't tell her. Okay. Caught up into paradise. Paradise now in the third heaven. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You with me so far? Ephesians chapter 4. And it says in verse 8, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Obviously, there are parts in the earth, and that's where he went. In Matthew chapter 27, we talked about this before. Matthew chapter 27, he led captivity captive. They were captive in paradise. Matthew chapter 27, when he resurrected from the earth, the many came up with him. And when he went up, there's some options of where they went. They could have lived and died and went back into the earth. And there's some places where they could have what they could have done, but apparently he took them up with him. Matthew chapter 27. And I'll get back here. And verse 51. It says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent. This is when Christ died, resurrection, and twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So he resurrected from the grave. He freed the captive, walked around here on the earth, came up out of hell and ascended. After he'd been in paradise 3 days and three nights, down in the heart of the earth, and took them up with him into the third heaven, and led the captives that were captive in paradise and took paradise up into the third heaven. And that would include Adam and Eve, Abel, Seth, Noah, saved thief on the cross. People call them the antediluvian saints. The souls in Abraham's bosom, being saints under the law, they're called the circumcision. Abraham remained in the heart of the earth. And then the third mention of paradise is Revelation 2. Revelation 2, if you want to go back there. Revelation 2. And let's see. Well, I'm going to jump in here. We'll just read the whole thing. We'll jump into verse 1 and kind of give you a context here where it goes. Well, you know what? While you're there, go ahead and get Revelation 22 because we're going to jump up there next. Revelation 22. Okay, Revelation 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst, not bear them which are evil. You know, I think about that, and I'm thinking, God knows my patience. That's a scary thought. That's the problem. It's easy for him to know my patience. Yeah, there's almost none there. Who was it just came in and was talking about that said tribulation worketh patience?
Brother Brian.
Hey, it was so good. He says, it doesn't give patience, it worketh patience. And I'm going, well, we should work a little faster. I think I got PennDOT workers when it comes to patience. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are prophets and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. See, God hates some things. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Well, there's that tree of life that was down in the Garden of Eden, that was in the heart of the earth in Ezekiel 31. It is now, the tree of life is in the midst of paradise, in the midst of the paradise of God, and it is up where Christ went in Revelation 22, if you'll turn to that. And verse 1, Revelation 22 and verse 1. It says, and he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city, for without are dogs and sorcerers, and on and on. Verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. By the way, he is the morning star. The NIV makes the devil the morning star. The NIV, I just don't understand how people can use a book like that. But it's amazing. It is probably the most popular Bible, even in many of the Baptist circles today, or Baptist colleges, quote, that used to be colleges, and now they're no longer. We're getting beyond, because of the global society that we're in. Baptist college is a limiting type of name. So we are going to be a university now. So all our Bible colleges are turning into universities, because therefore, it's not compromised. Our students can globally be better prepared. Right. But once we become a university, we also become licensed by the state, certified by the state, and take state aid. And then we also, to be licensed by the state, if you're a certified school, then you have to teach things. Down at Liberty University, they teach evolution because they have to receive aid. They also teach creationism, but they teach evolution as an alternative, because that's, we're just teaching this, or they teach it because they are required to teach it because of receiving state aid, because they've become a university. They don't believe it, so they say, but they teach in their Bible classes something different than that. But they teach, this is what the world believes, and yeah, all that stupid stuff. So the tree of life is up there in paradise. So was on the earth in paradise, went to the nether parts of the earth. Christ ascended, led captive to captive. He went up to paradise. Thief would be with him in paradise, was up in paradise, and the tree of life is up there in heaven in paradise. So that is where paradise is, the third time that is found, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, now up in third heaven waiting. Now, we're not going to have to partake of that, because we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And there are those that will live on the earth through the millennium, and they'll have to partake of the tree of life, just as Adam and Eve were. Those that were in paradise before the fall, they went down there so they could have eternal life. They partook of it. And those that live on the earth will partake of the tree of life, and they will have eternal life. All right, Abraham's bosom, Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. Give you a few more minutes. I don't think we're going to get too far with this. Genesis. I want to cover quite a few verses here yet. To show you a time period. Genesis chapter 16 and verse 5, it's a veiled reference. The first reference to, and I mentioned this, I think we got this far or something that I talked about it, but it's a veiled reference to Abraham's bosom. In Matthew chapter 16, talks about the birth of Ishmael, And you get down to verse 4, and it says, and he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when he saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Abraham never called Hagar his wife. Never called Hagar his wife, not one time. And Sarai said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid, notice what it says, into thy bosom. It's a veiled reference to Abraham's bosom. The maid, his Hagar, the Egyptian, and Israel was in bondage in Egypt, and later were bound by the law because they had rejected the free grace of God. So Hagar, a picture of Old Testament saint under the law. Go back to Exodus 19. And it's a little tricky. I think that's the place I want to go here. It's going to be hard to cover that like I want to cover that without giving you something else first. Let me look at something else here first. Oops. Let me just read this to you in Galatians chapter 4. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid and the one by a free woman. The bondmaid was a type of Israel under the law, and the free woman was the one that was born as we were. Well, let me read on for it. It says, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar, or Hagar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. Without going into a whole lot of it, I'll leave that for later. I'll leave that for later. Well, if Abraham's bosom was someplace and there was an interest, and they do come up out of that, it's probably near Mount Sinai in Arabia. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break thou forth, cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate have many more children than she which hath a husband. So just to show you that the Arabian woman was of the bondage, and Sarah's child was of the free. Go back to Exodus again in verse 19, and I'll just give you some time frame here before I go on to some more of Abraham's bosom. The saints in Abraham's bosom come up at the second advent, at the second advent of Christ. They're still there. They haven't come up yet, but they will come up. In verse 9 of Exodus chapter 19, the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud. All right, notice the word I come. I come unto thee a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go up unto the people and sanctify them. This is what it says, today and tomorrow. That's 2 days. God is sanctifying his church for 2 days, or a period of 2,000 years. That's the age of the church age. Today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Robes of righteousness. We have the robes of righteousness of our saints because of Jesus Christ. Notice what it says. And be ready against the third day, speaking to Moses. That's after 2,000 years, the start of the third day, or the end of the 2,000 years. Be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Literally, physically come back to the earth. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up unto the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. Notice what it says, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. The trumpet soundeth long, and we are going up to the mount, not this mount, but we're going up to the Mount Zion, the heavenly Zion. We're being called out. The start of the third, end of the second day, the rapture takes place, the trumpet sounds long, we go out, we hear the trumpet, we go out, we come up to the Mount Zion, up to the mount it says, but it's Mount Zion, third heaven. And Moses went down from the mount from the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes, and he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not of your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, time period when it takes place, that there were thunders and lightnings, Matthew chapter 24, and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood on the nether part of the mount, and the Mount Sinai, that's the lower part, and the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. So there's a time frame when the Lord comes back, and he comes back to Mount Sinai, the place where that the law is given and Israel went into bondage by the law. The Lord comes back to the earth. We go out before the start of that, the end of the tribulation period, the end of the second day. All right, I'm going to quit there. I want to give you some verses in the New Testament that show you that day period and when that's going to take place. When Peter was preaching the day of Pentecost, after the Lord ascended up into heaven, well, I get too far to go in it. All right, I'm going to stop there. We're going to come back. I will continue to talk about Abraham's bosom, and then I'm going to show you some when that takes place and when the Lord comes back and Abraham's bosom comes up, Ezekiel chapter, is that 27 or 37? I always get that mixed up. You can read that if you would like. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Okay. Got to be 37. Ezekiel. Yeah, Ezekiel 37, verse 11 down through verse 14. And it'll show you about Israel coming up out of the grave that are in Abraham's bosom at the second advent of Christ. Okay, I want to take some time for prayer. So, all right, you got any quick questions over that? I know that's not, we are not finished, but most of that was somewhat review. But I wanted to cover all of that and see if that straightened out some things. And we'll show you Abraham's bosom, then we'll go on from that and show you some things. All right, any questions about that? I have brilliant students. No? Okay, you got it all figured out. All right.